your faithful provision for all of our needs, body and soul. You care for us. Your compassion for us is so great. You've given us your word to instruct us and to teach us as we grow in your grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open this word to us. Instruct us, teach us, lead us, guide us. We pray that in Jesus Christ we might be a thankful people, having received from your generosity the unspeakable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. The ground of our salvation is in him. He is our righteousness, but he is also our wisdom and our sanctification, as your word says. So may we also be a trusting people and a humble people. You've given your Son for our salvation, and as your word says, also in him you've given us all things. Let us trust that today. And so use the word to instruct us in that trust, in that humility, in that service and willingness, but also that we too would be generous and kind and faithful with the good gifts that you give to us. All that we have received from you and have done nothing for ourselves. You are our good Father, gracious and kind. Bless your word. It's preaching to our hearts, to our ears, to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together this morning first to 2 Corinthians 9. If you're using our church Bibles this morning, this is on page 968. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to start reading at verse 6. These verses are familiar to many of us. We're going to read this in conjunction with Lord's Day 50, afterward turning to Psalm 37, which will be the text for the sermon this morning. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And then let's turn to Psalm 37. And this is found on page 466. And there we read, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, and those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. He will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And so far, the holy and inspired word of God. Let's also turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, page 62 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 50, concerning the fourth request or fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And let's read question and answer 125 responsively. What does the fourth request mean?
Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are our only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trusting creatures and to put trust in you alone.
And so far, our confession. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some of the toughest jobs in the world today are the ones that you have to help out with somebody else's needs, especially when those needs are not very accurately described. So a mechanic, for example, gets a phone call. What seems to be the problem? Well, there's this clunk, or there's this noise. Or there's this clunky noise, or there's this noisy clunk, and somehow the mechanic has to interpret through the vague descriptions what the problem might be. Or maybe it's tech support. Can't get my printer to print anything. There's probably 14 reasons why it's not working, or possibilities. Could be a software problem, could be the computer, maybe the thing's not plugged in. And there too, over the phone, trying to sort through what exactly the problem is. Or a plumber. Well, there's a hose. Okay, well, what kind of hose? Well, it's a hose. It's leaking. I don't know. There's water dripping. Is it something with a pipe? I don't know. Again, I'm not sure what the problem might be. So an investigation needs to happen, right, to find out exactly what the issue is so that the right help can be given to answer the particular need. Parents have this as well, but it's a lot different with parents, isn't it? Think about little children, maybe between the years of 1 and 2. So they're mobile, they can walk, but they can't talk yet, or at least not very well. But they need things. So maybe they point, or maybe there's a facial expression, or maybe it's just sort of a one of those like childlike grunts. But the parents know what it is. It's always remarkable, isn't it? If it's a stranger or an aunt or an uncle or even grandparents, you're like, I don't know. I don't know what the kid needs. I'm not sure. Parent comes in. Mom or dad comes into the room. Oh, yeah, she's asking for this. Or, oh, yeah, he wants that. They know. Why? Well, because they've lived with this child. This is their child. They understand even the inexpressive groanings of that child. So much like our Father in heaven. We can offer up our prayers in vague ways. Lord, I'm helpless. Something is wrong. I have a need. We might not even be able to express exactly what that is, but He knows. He knows the desires of your heart, Psalm 37, verse 4 says. He knows what's going on internally, even if you can't describe it. He understands our childlike, that. And He comes and He meets it in great fatherly love and compassion and wisdom. He knows what you need, and He is there to answer you and to help you and to interpret even the groanings of your heart. Romans 8 says, even when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit helps us with groanings that are too deep for words. We don't even know sometimes what to pray for. And He knows exactly what it is that we need because He's your Father. We get to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer and maybe we've forgotten where we began. Our Father in heaven. He's your Father through Jesus Christ, through this gracious adoption. We become children of God at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's where all of this begins. Even our daily physical needs, they begin at the cross, where God gave up the unspeakable gift of His own Son, Jesus Christ, and in Him gives us all things. We have everything we need in Jesus Christ, body and soul. And we know that because of the cross. It demonstrates God's fatherly love and compassion. It demonstrates how well He knows His children. Because our dire condition of sin and death and condemnation was perfectly answered in every way in Jesus Christ, and not because we asked for it. Even if we had been able to, there's no way we could have fully formulated our request to God. But He gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior, the only one who could answer our salvation and all of our needs, who could pay for our sins, satisfy the justice of God, and also in the power of His grace and the depth of His love, do more than that, but also make us children of the Father. He came in the flesh, walked among us. He understands human needs. He even understands our physical needs. Our Father is our Creator. The Spirit knows us. The Spirit has made us fearfully and wonderfully knit in our mother's womb. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is dwelling within us to make us more and more like Jesus every day in every way. Our God understands all of our needs. So the question then for us is, and in this psalm, as David writes this in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the question is, do you trust Him? Do you trust His goodness? Do you trust His faithfulness? Do you trust His fatherly love? Or are you fretting?
Are you worried? Are you losing sleep? Are you afraid that somehow your needs may not be met by your gracious God? So we pray this petition and we are asking, first of all, help us, Father in heaven, with all of our needs. And we all have physical needs. The Catechism is again summarizing the full testimony of Scripture about this. We all have physical needs. And we are powerless and unable and really not wise enough to meet those physical needs for ourselves. Everything we have, we've received from our gracious, loving God. So what do you need today? What are your physical needs today? Some of us have different physical needs today, but all of us have some similar ones. You need health today. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, you need your body to work the way it's supposed to work. For your heart to pump blood, for your lungs to take in oxygen, for your brain to fire electrical signals to the rest of your body, for your muscles and your tendons to work, for your bones to be strong. You need health. We all need health. We often pray for health. We pray for health for others, especially when there is sickness and things are not going well in the body. You need food. God gives us food. He puts seed in the ground. Sometimes He uses farmers and sometimes He just doesn't. But He designed all of that in His creation. He designed plants. He made animals. He made these things for our food so that our bodies can be physically sustained with energy and with strength and with ability to carry on, so that our bodies function the way that they are supposed to function. We need clothing to cover ourselves, to keep us warm, comfortable. We need clothes that are functional. We need shelter. We need to be in a building. We need to be in homes. There was frost yet on things this morning, so we're thankful for warm homes last night while we slept. God kept us comfortable. Those are gifts from Him as well for our physical needs. And we have these things. That is all part of our daily bread. But we also need people in our lives. We need relationships. We need family. We need the family of God. And this kind of friendship and companionship in the Lord, we need those things too. That's also part of our daily bread. We need work to do. Jobs, those are means that God uses to provide for us. And it's good to work. I know, boys and girls, you don't always feel that way. It's okay, your mom and dad don't always feel that way either. Even adults don't always feel like working. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's stressful, sometimes it's not the thing that we want to do. But when you see it as something that God has given for us, because all of us have different gifts to use in His kingdom, you see that work is a good thing. And what a faithful, compassionate, loving provision that God has given to us, that we have work to do that suits our gifts, and our gifts suit the work. And together these things form a huge part of our lives, and there's great joy and satisfaction in doing it. God provides that, though. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Again, Christ came in the flesh. Christ knows the way that the world works. The world is His. It belongs to Him. It was made through Him, Colossians 1 tells us. So He knows about all of these things. He put all these things into place in the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. And He came in the flesh and understands and experienced what it was like. He walked this earth. He saw things. He heard things. He knows what it is to be hungry and thirsty. He also knows what it is to suffer pain. And He knows the joys of the human existence. He lived it. But He lived it perfectly. He lived it diligently. He lived it faithfully in every single way for our salvation. And He is still fully man, even at God's right hand. He knows exactly what it is that you need.
We know from God's Word that it is God's will for us in Jesus Christ to have all of the necessities of life. But we don't live to eat. Well, some people try. We don't live to work. Some people try that too. We don't live just to have things. Lots of people try that. No, God gives us food to eat so that we might live for Him. God gives us work to do so that we might live for Him. God gives us good things so that we might live for Him. He sustains us body and soul that we might live for Him. He causes the earth to bring forth good things. He blesses the labors of your hands. He gives you wisdom in the Holy Spirit as well to use the gifts that He gives. And I mentioned already that He uses means. Work is one of those means. So we don't sit at home and just wait for God's good gifts to arrive, maybe at the front door or through the mail or something like that, or we'll just expect that the good gifts will arrive. Well, some people try to live their lives that way too, but that is not what we're called to do in the Bible. God isn't going to just send the good gifts and have them descend from heaven on little parachutes. What He intends for us to do is to use the different means that He provides. And sometimes He provides us through other people. How are you provided for, boys and girls, from your Heavenly Father? He uses your parents to do it. How does God provide for us? He gives us work to do, and through our working, we are provided for. But that provision comes from God. For our farmers, you do the work of planting the seed, you do the work of harvesting, you do the work of overseeing the crops, but you don't send the rain. You don't send the sunshine. You don't send the growing conditions. You didn't put the soil there. God did when He created this world. So even the weather is something that God uses as a means to provide. So in short, we might simply say, in general, God does this through His providence. Through His wise and sovereign providence, He provides through various means to give us what we need. But that then means, by way of application, that we need to be diligent about our work, don't we? We need to be using the means that He provides. We ought to be thankful for those means. We should be diligent about them. So it's not right for us to go to work tomorrow morning grumbling and complaining, that's another Monday. Oh, it's another Tuesday. Oh, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for Saturday. God has provided that for you as a means to provide for your daily bread. Go about it diligently. Work hard. God has given you work so that you might live for Him. Proverbs 6 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Okay? It's good for us to get to work and to do the work that God has given us to do. We also ought to be thankful. Deuteronomy 8 says, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Oh, so easy for us not to be thankful or to take for granted the good gifts that God has provided in His goodness. Or maybe even for us to presume upon them. Well, of course God is going to bless me. Look at how good I am. Look at my work. Look at the things that I do. No, let's be thankful. Whatever you have received today, you have received from God. Whatever good things are in your life, that has come from the Lord. Whatever means that He has used to give you your daily bread, He has done that. In His love, in His wisdom, our lives are full of good, good gifts, an abundance of good gifts. God's blessings abound. We read about these things in Psalm 37, all the way throughout the psalm. The psalmist is exalting. David is exalting. God, You are so good to me. And I can observe all these things that go on in around the wicked people of the world. And sometimes it's enticing, and sometimes I get jealous of those kinds of things. But But when I really sit down, and you can say the same thing, when you really evaluate your life, God has not been stingy with you at all. He has treated you as children of His house and blessed you in His household, in His family, with an abundance of good gifts. Every single day, we're praying for our daily bread. Every day we can remark upon His goodness. And let us also not be jealous of others. We shouldn't be jealous of our brothers and sisters when we see how God provides for them throughout their days. If you take a look at verse 8 in Psalm 37, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, attends only to evil. If you have prayed this petition, Father in heaven, give me this day my daily bread, or rather give us this day our daily bread. If you've prayed that in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't you asked for what you needed? And if you have asked for what you needed, don't you trust that God will provide it? Hasn't He provided it? Give us this day our daily bread. Are you lacking? Or has He provided the very things that you need physically? You need to ask that set of questions first. Then, if you are jealous of a brother's or sister's gifts, why didn't you ask for those things? If you see how the Lord is blessing somebody else in the church or someone else in your family or someone else in your workplace and you're jealous, why don't you ask for those things? Or if you did ask for those things, maybe another church member gets a raise, you don't get a raise. Or maybe they get to go on a vacation, you don't get to go on that vacation. Maybe they get to build a house, and you don't get to build a house. Maybe they get to buy a boat, you don't get to buy a boat. Maybe they get a new car, you don't get a new car. But maybe you asked for one of those things and you didn't get it. We naturally conclude then, God is holding out on me. But why don't we conclude instead, if God hasn't given me that thing, then He knows I don't need it. You see? If we truly trust that our Father knows us and loves us and cares for us and provides for our daily needs and our daily bread, there's no ground for us to be jealous of anybody else. There's no reason for us to be jealous. God has provided for all of our needs. And if there is something that we feel like we should receive but haven't received, then the answer is God knows you don't need it. That's the conclusion that you ought to come to. Instead, too easily and too often, we're just like little kids. You had your birthday presents 3 months ago, and now your brother or sister is opening presents, and you want something, and you've already forgotten. 3 months ago, it was your birthday, and this was you opening gifts. Instead of being happy and joyful with the gifts that your brother or sister is getting, you're jealous. I want to open presents too. Well, you just did 3 months ago. And we act that way as adults too. What is it to you if God should bless a brother or sister in Christ in ways that He has not blessed you? What is that to you? Is that not His right? Sure it is. All things belong to Him. The cattle on 1,000 hills are the Lord's. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to Him. Can He not distribute His gifts and His goodness where He pleases? Surely He can. And surely, brothers and sisters, don't be jealous of the wicked. This psalm testifies to the reality of that. Do not be jealous of the wicked. Verse 7b especially. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. We can look at the unbelievers and say, how come they have it so good? Psalm 73 does this as well. How is it that they can have it so good and they don't even pray to God? They don't even ask Him for daily bread. It's not even a concept for them. They don't believe in God. They don't even believe He exists. They rebel against Him in their lives in their entirety. And God is good to them. But the psalm clearly indicates for us in several places the goodness that God extends to them. And this is testified throughout the Word of God as well. The good that God gives to the unbelieving and to the wicked will be for their condemnation. Don't be jealous of the wicked. They're here today, the psalm says, in a couple places, and things are going well. And then I went and looked for him later, and he's gone. That's right. Their lives are temporal in this life, just like ours are. And what they are about to face when Christ comes again is eternal condemnation for their unbelief and rebellion. There's nothing to be jealous of when it comes to the wicked. Help us with our needs, but help us also to trust. Verse 5, again, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. And yet so easily we fret. We fret over our needs. We fret over our wants. We fret over health and food and comforts. We fret over our work. We fret over our businesses. We fret over the economy. We fret over the weather. We fret over seed time and harvest. We worry. We grow afraid. We grow uncertain. We look at the circumstances around us and we say, I don't know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And Psalm 37 says, don't look at the circumstances that are around you, and don't fret, and don't look at the people around you. Look to the Lord. Wait on Him. Trust in Him. Commit your way to the Lord and trust that He will act on your behalf in goodness. And yet we're all tempted, every one of us, to idolize God's good gifts. And that's how we start fretting. Every idol starts with a good gift that God has given. Money is a good gift that God has given to us, that we can use that as a means of exchange and in a way of valuing things. And yet, of course, money gets idolized all the time. Work is a good thing. Work can be idolized. Again, we can adopt a mentality and a way of life that says, I live to work. No, we don't. God gives us work that we might live for Him. But we can give ourselves over to that kind of a thing. Human strength can be like this. God has given us human strength. That's one of our physical needs. But we can idolize that. We can say, I'm going to put my trust in my human strength. And that will only get us so far also. Even business sense. There is a business sense, right? Not all of us have that. Some of us have that. It's a knack, right? It's a gift. We can see business opportunities and manage a business and organize things and be very structured that way. There are people that have that gift. Certainly our culture idolizes a business sense, an entrepreneurial spirit. And we can give into that as well. It's a good gift that God gives, but let's not put our trust in it. Our trust ought to be in the Lord. If we put our trust in creaturely things, then surely we will fret. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, it is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. If you're fretting about the present or the future, you're sapping your own strength from your soul, but it also wearies your body and your heart. It is foolish to doubt the faithful providence of God. What did fretting ever add to you? What did your worry ever gain you? How has it ever helped you in life to fret over tomorrow or over next week? To fret as you go over financial statements and bank statements? To fret as you look at the condition of your house or your vehicles? What good has it ever been for you? What benefit has that ever provided you to fret over your work? Actually, fretting never gains us anything, but only causes harm. It usually results in anger or frustration. It could be hurtful to others, and of course, it's rebellion against God because it's idolatry. When we're fretting over things, we're not trusting in the Lord. And that's just a passive way of getting to idolatry, but that's what it is. I'm putting my trust in creatures in some kind of a way. Well, of course, we'll fret then because creatures fail. If I'm trusting in myself today, I assure you I will begin fretting because I know I will fail. And you know that about yourself too. The antidote to all of this is to put our trust in the Lord. And look at how many times our psalm calls us to do this, to trust, to wait patiently, to commit our way to the Lord. Verses 3, 4, and 5, all the way through. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verses 18 and 19, 23 and 24, 26, he is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Why does a person do that kind of a thing? Well, because they've been blessed and provided for by the Lord. Verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. David says that. Throughout his whole life he's seen this and observed this. The righteous are never begging for bread. God always provides. And you know that in your life too, when you look back. Even in the tough times or the tight times, he was there. Verse 28, verse 34, verses 39 and 40, even concluding the psalm, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Why? Because they trust in God. All their physical needs are met. All of ours are met as well. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, 1 Corinthians 10:28. Jesus taught us to pray this petition to our Father, to His Father. That's where Jesus put His trust, in His Father. That's where Jesus turned, even in the wilderness when he was being tempted. That's where Jesus turned, even when he was wandering through the regions of Galilee, Capernaum, Jerusalem, back and forth, around the Sea of Galilee. Who provided for Jesus? The Father did. And Jesus never wavered in his trust. And in that righteousness we have salvation, but also he has shown us the way that through Him we may trust upon this God who has become our Father in Jesus Christ to provide for all of our needs. And brothers and sisters, since we have been so well provided for, let us also be generous. 2 Corinthians 9 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let's be stirred up with compassion for one another as well and answer those needs where they exist. Let's answer those needs grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been loved and saved and set apart in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved from all of our sins, firmly established in Jesus, in grace and in power. And let's be generous and kind to others, motivated by the love of God and the love of neighbor. Because even as we give unto those in need, we are giving unto the Lord. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for this deed. We can be generous. We can give to others in need because we trust God will always provide for us. Again, verses 24 through 26. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, and have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. So, brothers and sisters, what is it that you need today? What are your physical needs, your daily needs? Go to your Father in prayer through Jesus Christ, and in true faith, ask Him. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for all of our needs, whatever they may be. Help us in our needs, but help us also to trust you. Do you trust God to know your needs and to be good to you? And in the midst of all that goes on in your lives, you all have busy lives. There are a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to remember, a lot of things to consider, a lot of things you need to do. We all have full calendars and things like that. There's lots of activity. We have a lot of needs for all those activities and to carry out God's work. Are you waiting on the Lord in all of those things? Or are you fretting? Again, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Amen. Let's respond by singing from number 7 in the Blue Psalter hymnal, On the Good and Faithful. God has set His love. Let's stand to sing all the stanzas of number 7. Before we pray, a quick update on a couple of prayer requests and concerns. Matthew and Anna DeBoer are both doing very well and recovered from COVID and Anna's pneumonia. So they're doing very well. They were both able to go see Scotland in the hospital on Thursday, and they were there yesterday and planning to be there again today. So we give thanks to God for that as well, and hope that she can come home from the hospital soon. And then also for Matthew, Matt Grossman and Allie Cross. Allie had her first round of chemotherapy this week, and it went very well. So we give thanks to God for that. She will have two more rounds of treatment in the next 9 weeks. And then they're possibly looking at surgery down the road as well, just to remove some of the growth that's there. So please keep them in your prayers too, as she now regains some strength before the next round of chemotherapy. But we give thanks to God that things went well this week for her. Keep them in your prayers. Let's go to God together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are our life.